church say amen again.
Amen.
Thank you for our brothers who have led us in our worship service up until this point. And we're just excited to be able to be back in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I think it's a good thing to come in the house of the Lord, but it's sure enough a good thing to come twice in one day. So we're excited to be back in the house of the Lord, excited to be able to worship one another, to see smiling faces, see those people who love us, those people who care for us, those people who pray for us. It's exciting. It's a good thing to be around people who you know pray for you. So I'm always excited to be back in the house of the Lord. If you would, turn your Bibles to Acts 5. And we'll read quite a bit of scripture, but we'll take our sermon from a little nugget of scripture there. But if you would open your Bibles to Acts the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. Acts the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. It says, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. They would come together regularly at Solomon's porch. No one from outside the church dared to join them, even though this people spoke highly of them. Indeed, more and more believers in the Lord's large number of both men and women were added to the church. As a result, they would even bring the sick out into the main street and lay them on cots and mats so that at least Peter's shadow can fall on them as them fall on some of them as he passed by. Even large numbers of persons from towns around Jerusalem would gather, bring the sick and those harassed by unclean spirit, and everyone was healed. The high priest, together with their allies, the Sadducees, were overcome with jealousy. They seized the apostles and made a public show of putting them in prison. An angel of the Lord opened the prison doors during the night and led them out. The angel told them, go take your place in the temple and tell the people everything about this new life. Early in the morning, they went into the temple as they had been told and began to teach. When the high priest and his colleagues gathered, they convened the Jerusalem council, that is the full assembly of Israel's elders. They sent word to the prison to have the apostles brought before them. However, the guards didn't find them in prison. They returned and reported, we found the prison locked and well secured with guards standing at the doors. But when we opened the doors, we found no one inside. When they received this news, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were baffled and wondered what might have happened. Just then, someone arrived and announced, look, the people you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain left with his guards and brought the apostles back. They didn't use force because they were afraid that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought before the council where the high priest confronted them. In no uncertain terms, we demanded that you not teach in this name. And look at you. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to hold us responsible for this man's death. Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than humans. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. God has exalted Jesus to his right hand as leader and savior so that he could enable Israel to change his heart and life and to find forgiveness of sin. We are witnesses of such things, and is the Holy Spirit who God has given to those who obey him. When the council member heard this, they became furious and wanted to kill the apostles. One council member, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law named Gamaliel, well respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be taken outside for a few minutes. He said, fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you intend to do to these people. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared claiming to be somebody, and some 400 men joined him. After he was killed, all the followers scattered, and nothing came of that. Afterwards, at the time of the census, Judas, the Galilean, appeared and got some people to follow him in a revolt. he was killed too. And all his followers scattered far and wide. Here is my recommendation in this case. Distance yourself from these men. Let them go. If their plan or activity is of human origin, it will end and ruin. If it originates with God, you won't be able to stop them. Instead, you will actually find yourself fighting God. The council was convinced by his reasoning. After calling the apostles back, they had them beaten. They ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, then they let him go. The apostles left the council rejoicing because they had been regarded as worthy to suffer disgrace for the sake of the name. Every day they continued to teach and proclaim the good news that Jesus is Christ, both in the temple and in the house. From this passage of scripture, I would like to offer you up a simple title. This ain't what you want. This ain't what you want. You know, when I'm a principal, so I'm around kids all the time. And I remember a few years back, there was a fight that was going to take place in the hallway. This is before I was a principal. I was just a teacher. And I was just a teacher. I was a teacher, because a teacher is more than just. But I was a teacher, and I remember these two girls, not guys, girls, getting ready to fight. And as they got tuned up to fight, one of the girls looked at the other girl and she said, "This ain't what you want. This ain't what you want." She was pretty much telling her, "I'm about to put some hands on you. And you think that engaging in this fight against me is going to be a good thing. But what I'm trying to tell you, if you come across here, what you're going to get ain't really what you want to get." Well, I look at the recommendation of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel said, "Listen here, if you, what I recommend you to do is to distance yourself from these men of God. Because if this is started as a result of the origin of men, whatever they do is going to die. And their followers are going to scatter. But if they are men of God, this ain't what you want. Because you won't find yourself an enemy of these apostles. You will actually be finding yourself an enemy of God." Listen, this passage of scripture teaches us a lot about the early church. If you go back in to 12, verse 12, and you see them and they're talking about their worship, you see that they worshiped right outside the temple at Solomon's porch. So we find out where they worship. It's a very public place. We also find out how they worship. You realize that their worship was extremely effective because now I like the idea that they worshiped in a public place. They worshiped where people could see them and people could be amazed by the teaching that they had. Now, I don't know how in the world we got away from teaching God's word in public, but somehow, some way, we decided to become comfortable in churches. And what we do is we almost hide our worship, because if you really want to know what we are doing, you got to come inside. Let me tell you, that was not the practice of the early church. They met right in the center of the town and they taught Jesus, and people who were passing by were able to learn about Jesus, and people would even bring the sick in on their cots just so they can hear Jesus and be healed. So let me just tell you a little bit. I don't know what we're doing, but we got to figure out some way, somehow, to get the word back out into the street. That ain't my sermon. That just had to be there as I passed by. But the Bible said that they put these apostles in jail. And as soon as they put them in jail, the angel of the Lord came and let them out. And I love that, because they weren't scared. they went right back to what they had been doing. And then the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Israeli council began to plot against them again. And Gamaliel said, wait a minute, let me give you a recommendation. Now, I want you, sometimes we think about the recommendation of Gamaliel, but we don't actually acknowledge who Gamaliel is. Gamaliel was a teacher of the Jewish religion. And some even say he was a lawyer. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, I believe that Paul sat at Gamaliel's feet. But I want to point out something totally different. Gamaliel was a man of influence. Why bring that up, Brother Mason? Because Gamaliel's recommendation changed the course of the apostles. He was not a Christian, but he had done something well enough that those people in power were willing to listen to him. Right. Why do you bring that up? Okay, because I want to know, do you have any influence? Have you ever asked yourself, can I be someone that is so positive and have such a good track record that when I speak, the people that are around me take my recommendation because of who I am? A lot of times we can't help anybody, we can't save anybody because we have no influence. And the reason why we don't have any influence is because we don't live a life that's good enough for the people who are around us to listen to us and want to hear what we got to say. Now, Gamaliel had some kind of influence. The Bible says he was in front of all of the Israel council. That means everybody that had power. And he spoke up. He said, the funny thing is, he said, y'all get on out of here. The apostles, y'all leave for a second. And then he said, listen, man, I don't know what these men are really doing. But if they're people of God, we ought to leave them alone. This ain't really what you want. We don't really want to fight God. And you know, the Jews, they were spiteful anyway. They said, all right, we ain't going to kill them, but we sure enough going to beat them. We're going to beat them. But even in the beating, they realized that all they had done was influence or giving the apostles more power, because the apostles left excited that they had gotten beaten, because they realized that if they had got beaten, that God saw them worthy enough to take some pain for his cause. How many of us ever want to get whooped for God? Anybody? I don't think so. I think when we start thinking about God whooping, somebody whooping us in the name of Jesus, we shut up real fast. But the apostle said, they left with joy because they were able to take abuse, or they were able to take beating from God. I mean, a beating in the name of God. But the part that we really want to talk about is, this is not what you want. I want to give you that, this little bitty piece of scripture just to encourage you. Don't be afraid to go and speak in God's name. Don't be afraid of them people on your job. Don't be afraid of the folks that might try to abuse you. Because if you are doing right, they're not picking a fight with you. They're picking a fight with God. And if they knew better, they would know this ain't what you want. Yeah, they would know that, look here, I might be messing with Darwin, but I didn't realize that Darwin was God's child. And you can pick with me all you want to, but you better believe 10 times out of 10, you're going to lose. Because you not fighting me, you might see me, you might mess me up, you might turn me around, you might persecute me, but you are going to lose because you didn't pick a fight with me, you picked a fight with my daddy, and this ain't what you want. You want to tell somebody when they start picking with you, this ain't what you want. Yeah, when you start trying to mess with me on my job, listen, this ain't what you want. You start talking about my wife and kids. Look here. This ain't what you want. Why? Because when you pick with me, you pick with my daddy. And my daddy don't lose. Keep on acting up if you want to. This ain't what you want. I walk in and work sometimes. Oh, and I walk in with my head up high. And the reason why I walk in with my head up high is because I know you can't mess with me. You want to mess with me if you want to. But this ain't really what you want. Because before I walked in the building, God walked in first. And before I started walking down the hallway, he already cleared it up. And you thought you was going to talk about me, but you ain't going to win because my God just don't lose. The Christians should have a lot of confidence. They should have a lot of confidence because they realize that ain't no fight, I'm fighting alone. As a matter of fact, I done got so bold, I don't even put my dukes up. You start talking, I just say, okay. I don't even attempt to fight no more. Because my daddy going to win, but I don't even need to get in the ring. I just stand back in the corner. I say, go, God, go. Get him. I watch as God whoop up on my enemies. And I look back at him and I think to myself, I told you, this ain't what you want. Gamaliel said, you can mess with these men. And if they are men, if they started all this mess by themselves, I gave you two examples. He said, Thaddeus and Judas, he said, they all died and their people scattered. So what he said, don't worry about it. If they came up, if they decided and preached this junk and they made it up themselves, don't worry about it, it's gonna fall. But if they men of God, you don't want to pick that fight. I'm so glad that I'm God's child. Because I don't worry about nobody picking no fights for me. You can pick any fight you want to pick. I'm confident this ain't what you want. I ain't confident in my ability to fight. I'm confident in my ability to stand next to the fighter. Yeah, and I didn't say a fighter, the fighter. Man, I love God so much because he ain't never lost. You know, I don't even know sometimes why we walk with our head down. Why do we do that? God, he ain't never lost. Ain't never. I did say ain't never. That's the kind of, he ain't never lost. Yeah, and the thing about him is he's so good, he doesn't even know how to lose. Could you imagine that? God is so powerful, he don't even know how to lose. So walk into this week, head high, ready to deal with whatever it is that the world is going to throw at you. And have a confidence. Have a confidence, not because you're great. Have a confidence because this ain't really what you want. This ain't the fight that you want to pick because it's a guaranteed loss. Maybe you're going into this week and you're saying to yourself, man, I'm tired. That's okay, be tired. Let God fight. Say, man, these people keep messing with me. All right, let them keep messing with you. God will fix it. The Bible says he will use your enemies as footstools. Footstools. Listen to how powerful God is with what the Bible is saying here. He didn't say he'll use your enemies and you can step over them. He said you're going to use them as footstools. That means that not only, see, in order for them to be a footstool, they got to be where? Beneath you. But what does a stool do? It exalts you. So there are people out there that just messing with you. God going to knock them down, and then he going to allow you to step right on top of them and stand above everybody else. All you got to do is follow them. This ain't what they want, y'all. You better go into this week knowing that Jesus, God is going to win all the battles. Already won them. Can't lose them. Have confidence because you are children of God. Now, some of us, the reason why we're tired and we don't know what to do is because we didn't step outside of God's will. And see, you out here fighting your battle and you don't have no confidence, but you shouldn't have it. You know why you shouldn't have it? Because God ain't fighting with you. Or he ain't fighting for you. This is the time right now to come on back to Jesus. Come on back right now and say, Lord, look here. I need the confidence that your children have. I need the confidence to walk in every day realizing that I can't lose because I'm your child. I want to get back in your good favor. I want to get back in your good graces. I want you to fight for me. How do you do that? Repent of your sins. Say, Lord, it's real simple. Lord, help me. Be a little different. Be a lot different. And just say, Lord, help me. And he'll take care of the rest. You don't have to come down here and tell us all your business. Just say, Lord, I need help. And God will take care of the rest. Some of you might not be a Christian at all. And you say, man, that sounds like an awesome God that they're working with. How do I get to be a part of that? Hear the word. Believe that he's the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess the sweetest thing on earth. And then be baptized and rise to walk a new life. And then you can walk in every day regardless of who you walk up against. It doesn't matter who you step up against. Like when David got to fooling with Goliath, he wasn't worried. He wasn't worried because he was David. He said, God delivered me from the mouth of the lion and the bear. So God gonna deliver me out of Goliath too. Just go on in there with that confidence. You can almost be a little arrogant. Don't be too arrogant. But go ahead and puff your chest up and say, this ain't what you want. You can do that right now as we stand and sing our song of invitation.